Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, yes, it is a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, the final one of the regular season. Next time we talk to Scott, we will know the Phillies' playoff opponent for October 4th at Citizens Bank Park. Likely, very likely, as the number two seed, we shall see who they're going to play and what's on that roster and what it looks like as we get set for a red October. Scott, how are you doing today?
Scott.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're pretty good.
It's a fun time, Scott, as we get set for Red October. Scott's call, of course, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, the Phillies are likely to be, very, very likely to be, the number two seed, which means next week, Dodgers, Mets, Reds, Diamondbacks. It's going to be fun to watch how this plays out, not just this weekend, Scott, but then the start of next week as we figure out who we're going to play next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, give you a chance to kind of rest up, get ready, see who you hate the most and who you want to beat the most, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
It might be a quick answer for most people.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, I think the Mets would be the hate the most, but the Dodgers would be a heck of a lot of fun next weekend. All right, Scott, let's talk about the week that's been and this weekend that's coming up here as we round out the regular season. Scott, Kyle Schwarber, I mean, we've said it every time you've been on
Phenomenal.
With us this week. I mean, what a season. What a year that could be capped off this weekend with a shot to go after Ryan Howard and this record. And I know there's only three games left, but he's shown an ability a lot during his career, Scott, especially with the Phillies, hit multiple home runs in a game. So I think it's certainly possible this weekend he takes three out.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. You got three right-handed starters tonight. Joe Ryan, he's pretty good. He's had a good year. Mick Abel has had trouble with the long ball. So that's certainly a possibility there. And you know, given the fact that you've got 5 days off coming up, Monday through Friday, he's going to play. He's going to play. He's going to take down just about all the at-bats, unless they get, you know, some big-time lopsided score or something like that. Maybe he comes out, or maybe he sets the record already. But I think he's going to have a real good shot at it. I really do, and it'll be fun to watch.
Scott, let's talk about the other part of the team right now that is, I think, a little bit in question heading towards the postseason, and that is how they're going to round out the bullpen and how they're going to round out maybe that fourth starter. So Walker Buehler last night pitched really well, and he's pitched well as a Philly so far. Scott, big picture question. What do you think is more valuable? Because I keep going back and forth in my head. You know, the Game 4 starter, let's say Game 4 of the NLCS in a potential World Series, that those games, or maybe what Walker Buehler could provide out of the bullpen. Because I heard this in the morning show today, we're talking about maybe Walker Buehler should get that start over Aaron Nola. And I understand that idea, but I keep thinking about they might need Walker Buehler out of the bullpen to help them to get through all these games, to get through this postseason.
Well, first of all, you're talking, that's a long way down the road before you get to Game 4 of the NLCS.
Right.
So we're talking about weeks from now before you can get to that point. So that said, I think he will be used out of the pen. I think he will be used in a variety of different ways. I think he might be used in short relief if they have a certain kind of a need, you know, a couple of right-handed batters, come on, get them out and be done. Or if you've got an extra innings situation, of course, extra innings goes back to the real rules of baseball where you don't have the free runner at second base. And so you can get some longer games. So I think he's, you know, in reserve for something like that. But I don't think he's going to start. I really don't. I think he's going to be used out of the bullpen. And I think, he's been good, but he hasn't been great. There's certain numbers that look really good. Obviously, the ERA. But I don't think he's happy with his fastball command. I think it could be better. I think it needs to be better. Does he compete? Absolutely. The guy battles. He doesn't give in. He knows how to, you know, work with seven different pitches and all that. But, I just don't see him as a starter in the postseason. That's just me.
You know, Scott, I'm kind of curious. Trey Turner, how healthy do you think he is at this point?
You know, I think they feel like he's just about there. Trey, last year was pretty, I think, pretty timid, you know, coming back from the hamstring injury. Now, it was more severe. He was out for longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a little bit of a mental block to get over that last push, right? And that might be something. You know, it was a long time before we really saw him start stealing bases again last year. So, they're not going to put him in jeopardy, but I think he's pretty close to 100%. I think they said he was probably running at about 80% the other day. And, based on some of the exercises he was doing, they felt like he's probably there. He's probably good to go. So, but again, they don't want to take any chances. The last thing you want is a setback and then not have him available for the playoffs.
Well, I agree with that. And Scott, I keep thinking about this just from my perspective as a fan. I don't want to see him play this weekend. I mean, the games are probably mostly meaningless. I guess there's a very outside chance the Brewers get swept, Phillies sweep, and then we take the one seed. But, you know, by tonight, it could be clear the Phillies are the two seed. If he's not getting activated tonight, Scott, it's hard for me to see the value of him playing either tomorrow or just Sunday, then to take the week off, then to play that first game Saturday. I would rather them exercise a whole abundance of caution, especially because he is a speed player, and you know we know he legs out a lot of infield singles.
Want him 100%.
Yeah, I can't imagine him busting one this weekend. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but think of it from this perspective. If you have him go out there on Sunday, now again, they're not going to put him in harm's way, and they don't want him to be in harm's way, and they're not going to clear him to go out there until he's out of harm's way. But if you deem him healthy, I see nothing wrong with A, getting him at bats, and B, letting him mentally feel like he's good to go, right? Would you rather him go into the 5 days off and say, and without the question, he's tested it, he's run, he's changed direction, he sprinted to first, all of that checks, you know, he checked all the boxes. So now that part of his mind is free. Mm-hmm. And then he goes into game one of the division series not worried about it. Or would you rather not have him play, go the whole week, wonder if he's ready to turn it all the way on? Because he's not going to turn it all the way on in an intra-squad scrimmage in the middle of the week, right? Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. So I think, as long as there's, you know, I mean, all things being equal, as long as there's no harm you're doing to him, I would rather have him at least a day to try to clear a mental hurdle or two.
It's a fair point. And last year, it seemed like it took him a while to bust it after he came back, like to really turn on his legs again. So maybe he needs that. Scott, I am wondering, Hugh and I were talking about earlier, do you think, let's just fast forward to Sunday. Do you think any consideration will be given from Topper, maybe talking to Trey about it? The batting title is there. I mean, he's probably going to win this thing. I think Nico Horner dropped to .299 yesterday. But, you know, if Nico Horner has a big couple days here, this could be neck and neck heading into Sunday.
Sure. I think, Trey kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday. He said, look, I'd love to win the batting title selfishly, but I don't want to do anything that's going to put me in jeopardy for the playoffs. That's what this is about. So if he's, again, like we talked about a minute ago, if he's good to go, if they deem him good to go, I think he plays and he gets the at-bats and whatever, you know, come what may, 4-for-4, 0-for-4, whatever the average turns out to be, I think he plays.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday.
No, I was just about to say, I feel better, Scott, because I felt some kind of way when I heard that he was going to do it. It sounded a little selfish, but the way that you framed it, it makes me look at it differently, you know, because when you talk about how, you know, you don't want him going out there cold for the postseason playing and not trusting himself and just getting out there and getting a few warm-ups to see where I feel a lot better about it now.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to be, to some extent, everybody's going to be a certain amount of cold, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. You've just taken 5 days off. And whatever the reps are, whatever the simulations are, you do the best you can with that. But the reality is, none of that will be full speed, game speed, right? Where the mind is free, the body takes over and does what an athlete does, what it's been trained to do all those years. Mm. So I think getting him into a game, again, as long as you're certain that you're not jeopardizing him in any way, then let the mind, let the body take over for the mind, if you will, right? And let him feel like he's cleared all the hurdles so he's ready for game one.
Scott, any concern with Jhoran Duran as we enter the postseason? You know, gave up a home run the other night, gave up one in L.A. His numbers overall as a Philly are excellent. I think it's like 25 strikeouts to one walk. I mean, he's been really good. But I think there was a feeling when he arrived here, like, we're never going to blow a save again. It's just, it's, we got that lockdown. And I still feel good about him, but it's been a little less dominant than maybe some people thought it would be in the last inning. Any concern with him entering the postseason?
Not for me. I mean, of all the people we've gone into the postseason with over the last 4 years, who do you like better?
None. Him. I'm with you on that.
Period. End of story. It'll be what it'll be. He may blow a save. He may blow a really big, big moment. But if you're not comfortable with him, then I can't help you. You know what I mean? I can't assuage your fears. I don't know what pitcher out there could make you feel better. But he's the least of my worries.
Scott, last one for you as we enter the final weekend of the regular season. What's your thought on how Nick Castellanos has responded to on the field? I mean, it's obviously been a little bit, you know, he's made his thoughts clear that he's not maybe in the best space and doing the best with his new role he can, especially last Friday night after the 250th home run in Arizona and especially all the stuff after the game in the clubhouse with the media. But how do you think he's adapting to the pinch hitting role? Because he had a hit the other night against Miami. He had one. He came into that game where he got the 250, you know, 250th home run off the bench as a pinch hitter. Scott, I think that's a big development because if he could handle that, he could be entered into big moments in games, especially if they face a righty. So, you know, Kepler's going to start the game. We get to the sixth or seventh inning. You know, the game might be in his hands all of a sudden.
It might be. I think the fact that he's gotten opportunities to try out that role, if you will, and he's had some big RBIs, and I don't mean just hits. You know, you go back to that the four-game sweep of the Mets. I know there were some moments there where he popped off the bench and he got a sac fly, you know, driving a big run in one of those games that was close. I mean, I think he's handled it pretty well. Nick, his at-bats sometimes are a mystery to me, right? And I think to a lot of people, it's funny, those first two pitches sometimes, it's swing, and you're 0-2, and then all of a sudden, like the other night, it's this grind you down, take pitches, foul off balls, right? Stay alive, really, really good quality professional at-bats. So, he's probably going to be called upon. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's going to get some chances to start here and there, depending on, you know, what the matchup is. He'll start against lefties, I think. But he'll be in some big spots, and I think he's handled it pretty well for a guy who, you know, again, hasn't done much of that in his career.
What a twist to the story, Scott, if he has a Matt Stairs moment in the next couple weeks here in the postseason. That would be pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it would. That'd be great.
It'd be great for everyone, the Phils and obviously for Nick himself. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on. Have a great weekend. We'll be listening, and next time we talk, we'll be getting ready for the NLDS.
Thanks a lot,
Let's
Scott.
Let's do it. All right, see you guys.
There he goes. Scott Fransky on a Fransky Friday. Hugh, it would be pretty wild if this thing ends with Castellanos coming off the bench in a pinch-hitting moment and getting a big hit.
Yeah, that would be. Especially after, you know, he says some of the things that he said, that would be super great.
Yeah, because as much as he's become he's less important than he was, right? He doesn't play every game. They're not going to let Kepler hit against a lefty late. He's going to come in, like, if they put a lefty in to face Kepler late in the game, I imagine it's Castellanos going to get the call to pinch hit in that spot. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard our comeback. All your phone calls on the Philadelphia Eagles and... We got a couple moments from the Eagles-Bucks history we got to go over. Hugh Douglas moments in the past. One, when he took down a Bucks quarterback. And the other, when the Eagles tried to take some money out of Hugh Douglas's pocket and he was asked about it live on television. Yeah. We got to hit that. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on the Eagles, the Phils, and everything else. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we get set for week four of the NFL season. Eagles, Bucks, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Coming up at 1 o'clock, you know, as we exercise some demons this week and we try to move past the Bucks fear that Hugh Douglas has, we're going to bring on a guy that I think, as time heals wounds and everyone can, you know, bask in the glory of two Super Bowls now, we could bring on a guy that at some point it probably was illegal to bring on this radio station. Hugh, your former nemesis, Rondae Barber, who now does radio for the Bucks down at Tampa, he's going to join us at 1 to talk about this football game.
Hall of Famer, yes.
Yeah. I think he's the only player in NFL history with 45 picks and 25 sacks.
Yeah, he was a thorn.
Unfortunately, he was. Yes,
he was a thorn.
Yeah, he was for a long time. He'll join us at 1 to talk about this football game. Guess the takes coming up at 1:15 as we guess what everyone's going to be talking about coming up at 1 o'clock. All right, back to your phone calls on the Eagles, on the Phils' final weekend of the regular season. First, though, we got to play a couple of these clips for you because it is Bucks week, which is always it's become a rivalry week here in Philadelphia. Eagles, Bucks.
Feels like we're playing forever.
It feels often, doesn't it, for a non-division team? It does. It feels like the Bucks are always a thorn in the Eagles' side. But at times, the Eagles have won the day, including when Hugh Douglas took out Trent Dilfer. Listen to this call back in the day.
To the 35-yard line for first down. Dilfer being rushed. Oh, he's yanked down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Great play by Hugh Douglas. He just reached out with a big right arm, grabbed the jersey of Dilfer, and yanked him down.
So our buddy Johnny over at All About the Birds sent us that clip a few days ago.
Johnny!
Max was able to pop it up on the YouTube feed for everyone to watch.
Way
there.
Way to go, Max.
You destroyed Trent Dilfer on that play.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite ones, man. Yeah, because he snatched him.
You think that's a penalty today?
Yeah. Well, you know, people were debating that.
Horse collar?
They were debating that as well.
Yeah. What did you think? Like, did you grab under the...
No, it was at the top. It was like, you know, the top of the shoulder pads.
Yeah, yeah.
I grabbed there.
And so, you just slammed
just
them down.
Him down. But it was more so I grabbed the momentum of the tackle pushing me past the quarterback was what made him, you know, leave his feet. But people talking about that would be a cowboy collar nowadays. No, it wouldn't be. Because a cowboy collar is when the receiver is running and the DB grabs him in the back and pulls him down.
From behind, yeah.
From behind. It wasn't like that. So it was something different.
Yeah, you don't see quarterbacks get knocked around like that these days.
Not anymore.
That was fun to watch. Oh, we found this old clip too as well. So this, I was trying to remember what year it was as I watched it. Is this 01? It's either 2000 or 2001.
One of those two.
It sounds like the last game of the season, you played the Bucks, but you guys were going to play them in the first round of the playoffs after
it was
that?
We were already locked in.
You were locked in. So some of the starters sat, including you, but sounds like you had some sort of contract incentive.
Yeah, and so that was at like, what, 10 sacks? I got like $100,000 or something like that.
So you were on the sidelines. Here's Hugh Douglas. You're going to hear this in a second and see it if you're watching on YouTube. Susie Colbert on the sidelines as she asks Hugh if he's kind of annoyed he doesn't get to play in this football game. Here it was way back in the day.
It says about you that your motor's always revving, so how does it feel to be idling tonight?
You know what? It's kind of bad because I'm just sitting here and it's like, I mean, I'm not playing. I feel like Harold Carmichael.
9.5 sacks. One more, it voids the last year of your contract. So when coach says you're sitting, do you head into his office and beg or what?
Well, you know what? I did do that, but he said, hey, you know, he had his reasons. And I said, well, you know, coach, I'm not going to try to force the issue on this. I know you're doing it for a good reason, but it's just kind of hard just to sit here.
Bears held opponents to 203 points this year. Right now, you guys are at 198. How much a point of pride to have that record for the season?
We know what that would mean a lot, but right now, we're just trying to get healthy because we know we got to see these guys next week, so we're just kind of, you know, playing it safe.
It's no secret you guys are small up front. They've started to really get their running game going, so what do you need to work on this week?
Getting off blocks, most definitely, and getting after them and playing in their backfield.
Best of luck.
Hey, thanks a lot.
I just want to say, my man John Runyon, shout out to John Runyon. Yeah, He's listening to the show.
Yep.
He said, no horse collar in the tackle box. That's the rule. Thank you, John.
And he knows. He knows the rules.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Okay. So you would have got away with that one.
Yeah. What you mean I would have got away? He just said it was no
I know.
No horse collar.
I'm just saying, but if it happened today, if they try to take money out of your pocket, you would have been way upset. All right. Can we break down that interview you did with Susie Colbert there? Took a shot at Harold Carmichael for no reason. What was that?
No, that's how we play. We play like that. Shout out to Harold Carmichael, alumni, Hall of Famer. But we used to tell jokes like that. But I forgot about I took a shot at Harold like that.
So in the moment before they made it right, how upset were you that basically, if I understand it correctly, they took some money out of your pocket because you didn't get to play in that game, so you didn't get to hit an incentive.
Well, I didn't get to hit it, but they moved the incentive. We rewrote the contract.
Oh, okay, so they fixed it.
They fixed it, but
because you when the way you framed it, they must have said to you, "Hey, it's about the playoffs, about the team getting healthy." But you were set to lose some money.
Well, no, I was ready, but again, like I said, they made it right. That's the Eagles organization,
right.
And it was one of those things, man, where. It was for the betterment of the team.
Yeah.
You know, it was for the betterment of the team. And, you know, you feel some kind of way because it's the last game. You want to be a part of it. But at the same time, you know, you got to play them again next week. So it didn't make any sense.
The other part of that I loved, if you did get a chance to catch it on YouTube, the Buccaneers mascot is dancing around behind you the whole time. Did you notice
that? I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I didn't see
that.
The Buccaneers dance.
She also kind of called you a shrimp.
She did. Yeah. That's why I laughed. She's like, y'all kind of small. And I was like, damn. That hurt a little bit.
Yeah, especially that. That's you're in your prime getting called tiny. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Robin Delco is up on WIP. Hey, Rob. Rob? Rob going once. All right, let's put Rob back on hold. We'll get himself together, and he wants to chime in on the Aaron Nola situation. All right, Hugh, let's before we get Rob up, Aaron Nola pitches tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Walker Buehler pitched.
Buehler.
And he pitched well. And as Scott pointed out, maybe the ERA looks a little bit better than the stuff. Maybe he's, you know, he's been good, but maybe not as great as the numbers look. But the numbers are the numbers. I mean, he has, since he got to the Phillies, he has pitched well. I mean, his ERA is super low. He has pitched a decent amount of innings and pitched well here so far. I've been impressed with Walker Buehler. Hugh, are you locked in at Aaron Nola making the postseason start, or does he have to earn it for you tonight?
It would be nice to see him go out there and show you something.
Sure.
I mean, it would be real nice. But I think that, you know, what he's done in the past, and I know nobody's going to like that, what I'm about to say.
The past.
Yeah.
The past.
I think you owe it to him to at least give him an opportunity.
Oh, no. What do you mean owe it to him?
I'm nostalgic.
Owe it to him.
A little bit.
No.
Listen, I see the same thing that everybody else see. I see it. But, you know, he has been money for you in the past. Well, he has been there for you in the past.
He's had great moments, sure.
Yes, and he's one of those guys that, you know, he has a couple rocky innings, but then he always straightens it out.
Yeah, but a couple rocky innings might decide a game.
Yeah, I get
what
that.
What are we doing?
Maybe not so much. What were we talking about? A tandem bicycle situation.
Yeah.
You know, pair him with, say, who was it?
Walker Buehler.
Maybe Taiwan. Taiwan. That's what I was trying to think. Taiwan. Because, you know, Taiwan's going to be a part of that rotation, and we know what he's been in the past. So maybe you pair him with Taiwan.
So, all right. I right now, I'm at the point where I still would give Aaron Nola a playoff start in the NLCS. NLDS, they only need three starters. If we get to the NLCS, I'm going to give him a start. But my reasoning is not because he's done it in the past. I just think Walker Buehler could be better served to help the Phillies out of the bullpen. So far as a Philly, Walker Buehler, 13 and two-thirds innings, 8 strikeouts, which is not a great strikeout, right? But 0.66 ERA. I think Walker Buehler can help the Phillies in a legitimate way out of the bullpen, in a real way out of the bullpen. And I think you can get more out of him. He can affect more games. Because, look, Buehler's pitched well, Hugh. If Nola gets blown up tonight, there's going to be a faction of people who say Walker Buehler should be in the rotation, not Aaron Nola in the playoffs. And I say that, all right, you might be right, but I think like if Walker Buehler could pitch in game two of a playoff series, pitch in game four, pitch in game five out of the bullpen, I just think he can affect more games than just one game as a starter.
I hear what you're saying. And not only that, if we're pitching Nola, if he's on his rotation, if he's in his rotation, I got to say that he'll probably be on a super short leash. Super short leash because, you know, we're in a position where we don't have time to dilly-dally. And you know, it's
probably we really don't.
Yeah, if he's not going out there getting it done, then you got to have a backup plan.
215-592-9494. All right, Rob Adelko is back at Ready to Roll. What's up, Rob?
Hey, sorry about that, guys. Good afternoon, Joe.
You're good, Rob. What's up, buddy?
Listen, Joe, I'm going to be kind of harsh here, okay? But you like to keep the truth, right?
Live your truth.
Yep.
Listen. I don't want Aaron Nola on the postseason roster, Joe. You want to give him a start. Joe, he is cooked. He is Jamie Moyer 2.0.
All right, so if we're not giving him a start, who's starting game four?
I don't care, Joe.
Well, you got to give me somebody. Somebody's got to pitch the game. I don't care, it's not a name.
All right, listen, I want to give you somebody.
Yeah.
Walker Buehler, Taijuan Walker, Andrew Painter.
They already shut Painter down. He's done.
Start him back up.
Okay.
But give me great. Who's in the booth last night? Griff McGarry? Put him in there. Joe, give me that Wood guy that we took.
Okay? Oh, yeah. The rookie they took out of Arkansas?
Yeah, they threw the no-hitter in the World Series.
Gage, I think his name is Gage. Gage Wood. So, yeah. Rob, I'll say this. I don't feel great about Nola. I need Walker Buehler out of the bullpen. I think we can use him in more games, in more important moments than just game four. Rob, don't forget, they got to the World Series with Bailey Falter and Noah Syndergaard making starts.
I know.
You can get through the, like, how many innings is he going to pitch in game? Let's fast forward. Game four against the Brewers or the Padres or the Cubs, whoever, 2 weeks from now. What's he going to pitch? I mean, Hugh just said, is he going to pitch three innings? Three and a third? I mean, is that going to kill us, or can we get through those innings?
I don't even trust him. Joe, I have zero trust in Aaron Nola. He's cooked. I'm 52 now, Hugh. We're around the same age. I'm on that other side of the mountain, Hugh. You know what I mean?
No, I got you. I'm with you on that.
I'm tired of giving away years. I just don't want him. And listen, I know it's not realistic, but he's the lit, Joe. I want him in a game. If it's 10-0, we're getting our asses kicked, or if we're winning 10-0. Okay, that's the only time I want Aaron Nola to see the field.
So let me throw this at you. There is one. You said you don't want him on the playoff roster. I keep thinking about the NLDS roster for next weekend because they're only going to use three starters, right? They don't only need three. It's a five game series.
Thank goodness.
I don't think he should be on the roster for that series. It feels like it's a waste of a roster spot. I don't see any way he's going to come into the game unless it's like one of those extra inning games that goes 18 innings. I think they'd be wasting a roster spot using Nola on the roster. Like, bring up Rojas and put him in the outfield for defense in the ninth inning. You'd get a better roster spot using that.
Listen, if I can make two more quick points. Listen, you know where he's at right now? You know how they put a positional pitcher in when the game's like 15-2 or whatever it is.
I don't know if it's that bad.
Wow.
No, wait, Aaron Nola's a step above.
It's a lot.
He's a step above the positional pitcher for me. That's where he's at, Joe.
Boy, that's a lot.
That's where he's at. And to be honest with you, do you know when things turned around, guys? You know my nickname for that right fielder who's not going to be here next year.
Yeah, low and away.
He's Rojas. He's Rojas.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
A pitcher version, Aaron Nola. He's been above a positional player pitching the ball. That's where he is, Joe. Listen, he might be a great guy. He's a great father. I'm sure he's a great family man. He stole all that money from us. Go take it down and enjoy yourself. He stole that money.
All right, Rob. Yeah, I mean, I get so it. Strong. I mean, he's not pitched well this season. Rob, what do you think it's Sunday? You worried about the Bucks?
Absolutely not, Joe. I'm absolutely not worried about it.
This guy gets it, Hugh. See, this is the kind of attitude I need on football Friday.
Gotta love the passion. Gotta love the passion.
Let's go, Rob.
Let's go.
34-17 Birds. 34-17.
Wow. That's a lot. Rob, appreciate the phone. 34-17.
That's a big number.
A little rich for my blood. I mean, they were going to win the game, but 34-17. Whew. Eric is in Tampa up on WIP. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Hello, hey. Eric. What's up?
What's up? Can you hear me?
We got you. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking about the Bucks game versus the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be a great game this weekend. But the thing is, Tristan Wirfs, Chris Godwin, and Baker Mayfield, they're playing this weekend, by the way.
Okay. So
a little banged up.
Am I supposed to be afraid because they're playing?
Huh?
Am I supposed to be afraid because they're playing?
No.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know. I think it's going to be the key part for this game for both teams, running the ball. I really think it is.
Well, the Eagles have kind of struggled against the run so far here this year. It's weird.
Yeah, a little bit. Because what?
Special teams.
What's that? Rams had a pretty good running today against Kyron Williams.
I think the Eagles are 27th in yards per carry against. I'm not sure why, Hugh. Like, I look at their defense.
And they're pretty stout up front. They're pretty big up front.
Big up front. They have two big defensive tackles, right? I know Jalen Carter missed the whole first game. But the last two games, they have both of them in there. They have two good linebackers. Like, I'm struggling to understand why we're not stopping the run like we normally do.
Kyron Williams had, like, 20 carries for, like, 94 yards.
Not good.
The Bucks not good on special teams either. Both teams not good on special teams.
Are you a Bucks fan, Eric? You're a Bucks fan.
I don't know. I don't know if you can say our special teams was that bad. I think our special teams.
Yeah, we couldn't catch the kickoff.
They changed that. Yeah.
But Eric, you almost lost to the Jets, though.
Yeah.
So what does that say?
What you say?
What does that say about your team?
It's not good.
I agree that you guys. Yeah, you guys are lucky to be 3-0. You agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Eric gets it.
But Baker Magic, though, the last three.
He said Baker Magic. Did he say Baker Magic?
Baker Magic or Baker Mayfield?
But the Jets team, we was up by 17 points.
Yeah, but then you blew the lead to the Jets. They don't even have a quarterback.
Tyrod Taylor, the backup, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You're right about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys are in trouble. Eric, we appreciate the phone call. See, that's a Bucks fan. He didn't even sound confident. You're more confident in the Bucks than Eric in Tampa. That's on you.
Eric sounded like, he was just like, he was kind of worried about us a little bit.
As he should be. Yeah. He's
I mean, I'm just saying, you have to look at the history.
Nope. You do not. What does the game in 2021 have to do with any – the two games of 21
well,
have
the
anything?
The common denominator is a quarterback.
He is.
Yes.
But would you not say Jalen's a better and smarter quarterback than he was in his first year as a quarterback?
I would say yes.
Okay.
But even last year – he had a game where he looked like he regressed a little bit. They're getting that Tampa game. And part of that, to be fair, was because AJ wasn't out there. And I think Lane was hurting that game too as well.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's dive into this box score quickly. Last year, Tampa Bay 33, Eagles 16, right? Jalen Hurts and the Eagles went down to Tampa, and they were down 24-0 at one point. By the way, we did have our team here look into the box score.
We were wrong.
We were dead wrong. Marple Mack was correct. The Eagles did block an extra point, I think, at some point?
Yeah, extra point.
And Keely Ringo scooped it, and I think he scored.
Okay, so we all forgot that? So did we all just black out during this loss against Tampa last week?
I think we did.
Well, I mean, I turned off the game at that point.
Okay, what? I think that's probably what happens for a lot of us. We all just said, this one's a wrap today. I just want to quickly go through the game last year and who the Eagles' starting wide receivers were in the game. Do you remember who the starting wide receivers were, Hugh Douglas?
When I was Smitty, right?
He was out too.
Oh.
Remember he got banged up in the end in the New Orleans game? Remember he was held up and then the guy kind of slammed him down?
Yeah. And they were trying to say that it was a dirty hit or something.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
So the Eagles, three receivers last year in Tampa Bay. Paris Campbell, Jahan Dotson, and John Ross. I forgot John Ross was even here.
Jeez. Yeah.
So that game doesn't count either. We're throwing all these games out. This is why when I hear, they're 1-4 against Tampa Bay.
They don't count.
Well, every game has a pretty large asterisk next to it.
Gotcha.
Two games at 21. Jalen is his first year as a starter, and he's not. They don't have A.J. Brown. I mean, that's when they had, Quez Watkins and Jalen Reagor out there. And then you fast forward to last year, a loss. They have nobody on the field in the passing game. I can't take those games super seriously. The Eagles are going to beat the Bucs on Sunday. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop around. When we come back, let's dive into the area of the game that's going to decide it on Sunday. The moment, the area, the matchup on Sunday that will decide if the Eagles could go down to Tampa and win this football game, which I believe they will. The one thing the Bucs do great against the one thing the Eagles have struggled with a lot over the years, Todd Bowles and against this Eagles offense. We'll dive to that next. 215-592-9494. Does history worry you? Does the matchup and the history of the Bucs and the Eagles and the recent success of Tampa Bay concern you? It doesn't concern me, and I got to check this Twitter poll about how disgusting it is that Hugh Douglas is scared of the Bucs this week.
Disgusting.
Next on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. As we look for redemption this weekend against the Bucs, a little redemption, 1 o'clock, a name here that when we uttered it in the past, you couldn't have uttered it. But now I think after two Super Bowls, it's okay to have a conversation with the guy. Rondé Barber joins us at 1 o'clock to preview the Eagles and the Buccaneers. He does the color for the Buccaneers games down in Tampa. Guess the takes at 1:15. How we think everyone's going to be talking after an NFL weekend. And of course, you people later on. Jack Miller's in for Kyle today. So Jack's monitoring the YouTube feed and he will have the best and worst comments coming up from the YouTube people. You people at 1:45 today. And of course, you, as we look forward to the game on Sunday, there's always a matchup or two that decides this thing. Last week, we talked about explosive plays. Hugh, really, this one for me comes down to this. Can the Eagles handle Todd Bowles' blitz? You ready for some numbers on this?
What you got?
Todd Bowles has blitzed on 60 in the five meetings against the Eagles, five times Todd Bowles against Jalen Hurts. He's blitzed Jalen Hurts on 60% of his dropbacks in the five games. In the last four games, it's 65%. In the last three games, he has blitzed Jalen Hurts 71% of the time. Hugh, it feels like we know the plan on Sunday. Like, we know it already.
Oh, they come.
Todd Bowles is going to blitz Jalen Hurts. How the Eagles respond, how they react, and can they beat it? It's because it's not just, like, not making a mistake, right? But you can't have a bunch of zero plays. You got to make plays down the field. Are they ready for this? They better be.
I think so, because you know what the game plan is, and we know how we fared against the blitz. When we had it last year, I forgot about all those receivers that weren't A.J. and Devontae that were playing.
They stung.
So I think you got to make them pay. The way you stop a team from blitzing is you beat them. You got the blitz beaters, and you beat them like that, and they back off a little bit. You got to be able to throw the football. So I think that's going to be imperative going into this game because I can't see Todd Bowles. You know how we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, how everybody's been waiting around to get feelers to see how teams are going to attack them?
Yeah.
We know how this team is going to attack them. We saw it last week with the Rams. The Rams came after them.
So just to give you the difference between all the other teams and the Bucs when it comes to blitzing.
Mm-hmm.
So far this season, Hurts has been blitzed on 42% of his dropbacks. So he's getting blitzed at a pretty high rate, but compared to Todd Bowles, it's nothing. I mean, 42% is what it's been the first 3 weeks. Todd Bowles has blitzed Jalen Hurts at 70%. You would think after all the time seeing them, Hugh, Sirianni, and I know it's been different coordinators, right? But Petullo's been here the whole time.
And he knows what's going to happen in this game, that you would go in with something to stop that. That's the biggest thing. That's why I say you got to throw the ball. You either beat it with some clever run plays.
You could beat a blitz with a run. I mean, if you catch
him. That's what I'm saying. You beat him with some clever run plays, or you throw the ball. It's either or. It has to be that. And I'm leaning more towards throwing the ball because a lot of times when you have an aggressive defense that plays that way, you can really put that defense coordinator in a bad spot by gashing him on a few of those money down blitzes that he throws. and you beat them for some big yards, they tend to stop blitzing.
So earlier in the week, we talked about it because AJ talked about it in jail, and like it's felt at times this year where they have let the defense dictate the game instead of dictating. They can't do that on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's what it's been the last couple of games. When you sit down and you talk to guys and you see, you know, they want to see what teams are trying to do to them. You don't want to wait around for this Tampa team to get going.
I think it's going to come down to this. I mean, in terms of the Eagles' offense, if they can, like Hugh was saying, if they can create a couple big plays off the blitz, the Bucs are going to have to stop blitzing as much. Like, gash them with a big run. I don't know if it's a draw play or a design run away from the blitz, or if it's a hot read where Jalen gets it out of his hands really quickly and the guy's wide open and runs for a while. That's what we need to do, because it's getting annoying watching the same game over and over against Tampa Bay. 215-592-9494. Robert, Washington Township is up on WIP. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing? Hugh, how you doing? Hey, listen, I got to agree with Hugh, man. What I take from last year's game was Baker Mayfield picked us apart like Rosie O'Donnell with leftover Thanksgiving turkey, man. I mean,
that's a good one.
Wow.
It was like, before you know it was 24-0, right? I mean, it was crazy. All of a sudden, we were so far behind, and we had no answer. And that's what scares me the most, is us being able to stop Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, look, Baker's become a good quarterback, Robert. He's become better than I thought he would be, you know, because he bounced around the league after the Cleveland thing. But he's found a home. He's had three game-winning drives in the first 3 weeks of the season. So he's never out of a game. I agree with you. That was eye-opening last year. I will say, though, Robert, that happened before our defense figured it out. I mean, that was like the last game before we got Cooper DeJean on the field and we started to play some good defense.
Yeah, I just was surprised that more teams didn't follow that pattern of putting full torque. I mean, he got blitzed. Hurts got blitzed, but nothing like it was in the Tampa game. I was surprised, because to me that was like a, you know, roadmap to how you defense Hurts. It's coming at him like that. And, you know, just we could never get back in that game. I couldn't believe it, watching it, getting excited for it. And by the time it was the second quarter, the game was almost over.
It really was. It is crazy when you think back. Robert, good phone call. And Hugh, you think back to last year. There's only one team that has beat the Eagles up. It's Tampa.
That's Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We pointed out a lot today. That game didn't have AJ, didn't have Devontae, didn't have Lane. But it still had other players, right? Like Jalen was out there, and Jalen Carter was out there, and, you know, all that. It's crazy. Like, nobody has done that to them. Even because the other game they lost early last year was that Falcons game. But that was close, right? That went right down to the end. That was a matter of play here or there. Nobody has taken apart the Eagles the way Tampa has in recent memory. And that's... I feel like we owe him one. I feel like there's got to be...
Oh, no, it definitely feels like that.
Yeah.
Because what I remember about it, Coach Bowles' coaching staff, the year we did beat him, I think it was in Tampa when we had DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, and Lamide Zaccheaus caught a touchdown.
Yeah.
2023.
It was, you know, they were talking about Jalen couldn't read defenses. That was a knock on him, and he cut him up that day. It needs to be a little bit more of that. And granted, you know, you look at that game last year, and that probably was an outlier because the receivers were hurt, but it happened nonetheless. You know, so you look at that, and that's somewhat motivation going into this game. You know it's going to be hot. We all know that. And we know what his defense, what Baker Mayfield did to our defense last year. I think they've learned a lot from that time, because I think if I'm not mistaken, they caught him around the same time last year, early in the season, before they started to take off. So, you know, you learn from those mistakes, and you get better from it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they did get him the last time they played.
Yeah.
So you take that into the game, and you know, you're healthy now. You just get some get back.
All right, speaking of Baker Mayfield, he's led three game-winning drives in the first 3 weeks of the season for Tampa Bay. Let me ask you this question. I saw Spike Eskin put this out this morning. Did you see Spike's question?
No, I did
not. Okay, so you didn't see it. All right. You could pick one of two scenarios, Hugh Douglas. You get to pick which one. All right, scenario A. This is Spike's tweet this morning. Scenario A, the Eagles are up 24-20. The Bucs have the ball, three timeouts and 2 minutes left. Right, so up 24-20. Baker's got the ball trying to go down and take the game from us. Scenario B, the Eagles are down 24-20. We have the ball, three timeouts, 2 minutes to go.
Jalen.
So you'd rather be down?
I'll take Jalen.
Wow.
I'll take Jalen.
Yes, I mean, look, you're taking Jalen. You're also taking, you're down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd rather be in the deficit.
I'll take Jalen. I mean, if those are the two choices that I have, because, man, our defense is banged up.
It is.
And
especially
to
the
that
back
point,
end.
Well, I'll say this. I understand that, you know, it probably fits better for us to have our defense out there because of the lack of offense that Tampa has.
Right now with no Mike Evans.
With no Mike Evans. But I want to see Jalen have that moment because I think that he can.
Well, and last week he kind of did, right? The game ended on the block kick, but he drove him right down to take the lead.
I want to see because I think a lot of times we argue that moment. Like, yeah, we do. We argue that moment. So we argue whether or not Jalen has the ability to win a game like that. Even though he's done it, we still argue about it.
69% voted the same way you did. They'd rather be down.
Yeah.
I wonder if that is a pro Jalen, like I want to go see him do it. I know he can't, or it's a worry about the defense thing.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both.
And we have Kelee Ringo out there. And we also, I wonder if our pass rush is going to get going. No Nolan Smith. We only have 3 sacks in 3 games. We got to find a way to get to the quarterback and get to Baker Mayfield on Sunday. 215-592-9494. All right, speaking of the Buccaneers, a guy whose name unfortunately lives in infamy here. His name is Rondé Barber. He will join us on the other side to preview this version of the Eagles against this version of the Bucs on Sunday. He does color commentary for their radio network. That's next. Your phone calls as well. Guess the takes in the 1 o'clock hour. And you people on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.